Dear Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity to gather together, Lord. We know that your spirit wants to dwell in each one of us, Lord, here today, and that you want to use this brother here to preach the word. Just pray, Lord, that we can be hearers of the word, that we can be attentive, Lord, and not let the devil to cause our minds to wander or to get sleepy. I just pray, Lord, that we can give you our full attention here this morning. So bless this brother, let him be bold, and let him yield to your spirit, and speak your word here this morning. You ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning. God bless you all. Thank you, Brother John and Jerry, for those inspiring, challenging words this morning that you brought to us from the Word of God. Feel like we have been fed already. And my desire is that going on here, I feel weak and I feel like I'd rather sit and listen to someone else this morning, but I know God is able to make something out of nothing, and he's able to multiply a little into a lot. So may he be glorified here today with the words that get spoken here. May the Lord have his way. May the Holy Spirit minister to each of us. I have a few thoughts I'd like to share this morning on this verse in Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. It's 90, verse 12. Very familiar verse to all of us. So, Lord, teach us our hearts. This verse comes and begins with a because of the preceding verses talking about just the eternal God, the eternal immortal God versus mortal man. And he concludes those thoughts there, or rather brings those thoughts were in his heart, I believe, the writer of this psalm, writing verse 12, his heart and his wrote the first 11 verses. When he wrote, "Who knows the power of your anger? Or according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." And he talks of life God, the infinite being of God, he talks about prior to writing verse 12. What does it mean when we ask God to teach us to number our days? Teach us to number our days. I don't think it means today that we're asking God to show us how many days we have left to live. I don't think it means that There's with the exception of, someone like Hezekiah who got, another 15 years added to his life and various pronouncements of judgment and so forth. Man doesn't know. We are not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. That's why the Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow." And so teach us to number our days. I believe if we look at the context of those verses there, I believe he's talking there about, Lord, teach me that I have no control over. Teach me, Lord, that this might be my life. Help me to really believe that. You know, how much do we believe that might be our last day when we say things that we say? and do the things that we do, how much do we really believe that this might be our last day? How much do we really believe this might be that other person in my life's last day when I don't try to help him or her? How much do I really believe that we are one little heartbeat away from eternity? How much do we believe that? We get so caught up in this life and we go into survival mode and we our works and our words sometimes suggest that we believe that we're going to be here a while. When we delay repentance, when we delay, when we procrastinate and wait till tomorrow to do the things that really need to be done today. Someone once wrote that tomorrow is only on a fool's calendar. Teach us to number our days, Lord, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. That word apply means that we can, that wisdom could be developed in our hearts, that we could gain wisdom and that we could grow in wisdom, and that I would find myself in a place where God would impart wisdom unto me. Lord, teach me to number my days. Teach me that I might be in the last hour of my life so that I can be wise, so that I can not lean on my own understanding, but cry out to the Lord for wisdom. Only a life like that will result in godly wisdom. Everything else results in foolishness. Everything else, the opposite of wisdom, the opposite of a wise person in the Bible is a foolish person. The opposite of the wise are the fools. The opposite of the righteous are the unrighteous. The opposite of light is dark. And I want to look at today at wisdom. I want to look at wisdom and foolishness. We want to talk about the fools and the wise that God sees on the earth. Teach us to number our days. God did an amazing thing in this community over the last few years. On Antwerp Road up here, between Cuba Road and Roth Road, there's 7 people died. I have never heard of that. I don't know of anyone that's ever heard of such a thing. In 1 mile stretch of road, 7 people went into eternity. Sometimes God does things like that, and we don't even notice it. But I believe God is speaking. God is speaking. Prior to a few years ago, this whole community heard a loud knocking on their windows at night. I didn't, but just about everyone I know heard these knockings on the windows. I believe God is speaking today. 7 people on 1 mile stretch of road. Some were young and some were old. There was men and there were women. Some were sick and some were healthy. Some were innocent and some were accountable. Some died while they were working. Some died at home. Some were killed in the car that they used for transportation. And another was just recently killed by a horse that he uses for transportation. Some of these were expected and some were very unexpected. And I believe God would have us to look at that and cry out to him, Lord, teach me to number my days, because there's no one in here is exempt. There's no one in here that can wisely say that I have tomorrow. I wait till tomorrow. the opposite of a wisdom, the opposite of wisdom is foolish. I want to look at some things here that what the Word of God would have us to see in this. Now, God calls a foolish person who is bent on foolishness, He calls that person a fool. But I want to turn to Matthew 5:22. I'd like to talk there about a verse that I was taught when I was a child by my parents. Jesus said, "You've heard that it was said by them of old time," Matthew 5:21, "Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment." And then he goes on to say there that whosoever shall say raca, that means calling someone a name, a degrading name, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. And I was taught that you don't call someone a fool. You don't call someone a fool. Why was I taught that? Why did Jesus say that you're in danger of hell fire if you call somebody a fool? I believe we should take note here that he's talking here about a position of the heart. He's talking about anger. He's talking about a position of the heart here where I am at aught with those around me and I am seeking revenge and I call somebody a fool. And only God is qualified to call someone a fool today, because a fool is the description of a fool in the Bible is someone who is a vile person, someone who will not see God unless there's repentance, someone who is on his way to hell. That is a fool today. It is not our place to put somebody in that position. A fool is the lowest place that we could place someone. It is the lowest category that we could put someone in, is to call them a fool and to judge them to be a fool. Now, we can say someone's actions are foolish based on God's word. We can say someone talks foolish and acts foolishly. And we've all acted foolishly and we've all spoken foolishly, I believe. Most of us at least have. Because someone acts foolishly and talks foolishly doesn't make you a fool. It doesn't make that person a fool. What makes someone as a fool is when they, over a lifetime, they won't let up from foolishness. They're just constantly bent toward foolishness, constantly bent toward silliness, constantly bent toward self-gratification. And when that person becomes just lost, a fool isn't born a fool. A baby isn't a fool when he's born. I don't believe God looks at a baby and says a baby's a fool. But the Bible does say that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And that means it's tangled up. Foolishness is just completely tangled up in the heart of a child. And the rod removes it from them. If your children act foolish today, I'm not suggesting that you don't spank them too much. I don't want to say that, because I believe people take that overboard both ways. Both ways they take it overboard. But it is a very important thing to see, to recognize that children are born with a tendency to mischief. We don't have to teach them that. We do not have to teach them that it's that they like to be mischievous. They like to do the wrong or the opposite of the right. They like to do that. They're born with that. And that's just bound in their hearts, and left unchecked will bring ruin to that child. But to call someone a fool is not born a fool. A fool becomes a fool by wrong choices. A fool becomes a fool by wrong choices. Jesus called the Pharisees, certain Pharisees, he called them fools. God called the rich man that said in his heart, I'm going to, live it up and take it easy. I have much goods laid up. There was a place where that man reached in his life, in his greed and his sumptuousness, where God said, I don't know him. And God said, thou fool, today your life is going to be required of you. And then what's going to happen to all your things? To call someone a fool is the equivalent of saying, damn you. Or the designation of a fool today is utter worthlessness before God. The fool in his heart says there is no God. A fool disregards God's word. And he says in his heart, there's no God. He doesn't believe there is even a God. He may confess it with his mouth, but in his heart believes there's no God. And today I'd like to say that generally when we talk about wisdom, gaining wisdom, about being wise, we tend to kind of point to younger people. Younger people are in need of wisdom. And that's true. And if you're young here today, I am talking about you, but I'm also talking about me and about all of us. We all need wisdom. And so many of you young people, I'm so encouraged with you and the choices you're making in your life, but don't rest, because if you're a young person here today and you have your heart is clear, Satan wants you. The jails in this country are full of young people. Young people, that's who Satan's after. With a lot of energy and a lot of ambition and inexperience, they fall into many hurtful snares. So do old people. But as a person learns and gets older, he still needs wisdom, because he faces new discouragements and new challenges and new his responsibilities increase. His awareness of the brevity of life increases, and he needs wisdom. He needs more wisdom. But a young person is so. If a young person doesn't get a hold of wisdom when he's young, it's just unlikely that he will when he's old. It doesn't. It's not often that a foolish young man or woman that makes a mess out of their life, they usually die that way, 90% of them. You have this opportunity to be wise. I was listening to a missionary speak once from Southeast Asia, and a brother told me 20 years ago, I was in a room with that man and two other boys. It was three boys, and they were friends. And this man was quiet and shy and sober, and there was these other two boys were mocking him, and they were acting foolish. And they were talking foolish, and they were mocking this man. Today, the one that they were mocking was standing there as a missionary, and he was home on furlough preaching. And those other two men, at that one time, the one, I think, was in jail, and the other one was, I think, they're both living in the world. The story of three boys, three young boys, and this brother remembered a day 20 years earlier when he saw three little boys. One was sober and two weren't. And how their courses separated. The two went in the ditch, and the other one went on with God. Seriousness doesn't mean a sourness. I believe Jesus was a joy to be with. I believe Jesus and his disciples, I believe there was a joy amongst them. When I'm with a joyful brother, I think that's what Jesus must have been like. Jesus wasn't sour. I get sour sometimes. Soberness isn't sourness, it's sweetness. Soberness is a reverence of God. Soberness is humility. Isaiah 32, verse 6. I have several verses here I want to come to that talks about foolishness, about the foolish person, about the fool. What does God see? You can turn to these if you want. Isaiah 32, verse 6 says, "For the vile person will speak villainy." That means folly. It means folly. What is folly today? It's words that don't need to be spoken, and they're also words that just are not right. "The vile person will speak folly, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail." This verse is, I believe, saying that the fool, the vile person, that's what that vile person means there. There's several meanings of the word fool in the Bible. Some it means vile person, and others it means silly. And I don't know, there's at least four or five meanings. But they're all just cut off from God. But there's hope. There's hope for the fool if he repents. A fool can come back to God. A fool can repent and become wise. Proverbs 18, verse 7, talks about the mouth of the fool. And I think the mouth of the fool is probably the greatest downfall. So here again, this is talking about fools, but a fool's mouth is his destruction. How many of us have gotten ourselves in trouble with our mouth? Does that make you a fool? Not necessarily today. Not necessarily does that make you a fool, but it's kind of like foolish talking and rash talking pertains to fools. It's kind of like going out in the barn and you come in and you smell like a pig and you got something on you that belongs in the barn, but that doesn't make you a pig, but you know, you need to wash up. That's what acting foolishly is for the young and for the old. We need to repent of our foolishness. And we need to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Proverbs 1, I'm just going to go through Proverbs here. There's many verses about foolishness and about the fool and his actions in Proverbs, and I'm just going to touch on a few of them here. Proverbs 1, verse 22 says, wisdom is speaking here. Because I have called you and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. That's wisdom speaking there in first chapter of Proverbs. The fool has refused wisdom. The fool has refused the counsel of God, the counsel of others, the counsel of parents. Proverbs, going on to Proverbs 10, verse 23. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. It is as sport for a fool to do mischief. (Clears throat) And then Proverbs 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. A fool is usually known by his anger. And we act foolishly when we become angry. We act foolishly when we become angry. Proverbs 12, 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. A prudent man is reluctant to let other people know everything that he knows. A prudent man is not someone who wants to be known as someone who knows everything. But the heart of a fool just, you know, wants to be known in that way. Proverbs 14, verse 3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. The mouth of the foolish, there's a rod of pride in the mouth of the foolish. That means that his foolishness and his vain words are a rod to him. They beat him up. His pride is often hurt by his own confidence. But the lips of the wise shall preserve them. And then 14:9, same chapter 14:9, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is no favor. Fools make a mock at sin, and another translation says that fools make a mock of sin, and sin mocks the fools. When we play around with sin, and we don't run from sin, sin will make a fool of us. That's foolish. It's foolish to play around with sin, because the sin will make a fool of us. Chapter 15, verse 5 says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. That's pretty clear. A fool despises his father's instruction. It's foolish for you not to hear your father's instruction. That pertains to the fools. That needs to be out in the barn with the pigs. Verse 20 in chapter 15 says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Chapter 17, verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. We can go back to chapter 7 of Proverbs. Verse 7 through 12 is talking about immorality. Young men, immorality. Do you know how many men today are defiling themselves? Are defiling themselves in unspeakable ways? And behold, this talks about a man verse 11. Verse 10 and 11 and 12. It talks about a young man who met a woman with the attire of a harlot and a subtle heart. And she is loud and stubborn. her feet abide not in her house. She's not in her house anymore under her parents. Look out, young men, for the woman who is not under godly authority. And ladies, if you step outside of godly authority, you will get a man. You will catch the eye of a man that you don't want for a husband in 10 years. He'll be a poor provider, possibly. He will cheat on you. He will be unfaithful. He will be unkind, and all those things, unless he repents. It should be the high calling of every young woman to hide herself. That's what God does. God, Jesus, he hides. All the treasures of wisdom, the Bible says, are hid in Christ. And it's only those that want them can have them. Those that don't really want them, they'll never find them. They're hidden from the wise and from the prudent. And for a young lady to hide herself, to hide her body, and if a wise young man will find her, he'll find you. You'll get the young man that you want. The foolishness of a young woman just flaunting herself is not wise. It is not why that is foolish. You make it your goal that a wise man will be able to see your heart. If you believe that you have something to offer a young man, make him find it. Let him find it by discerning who you are. Every other way is harlotry. Proverbs 14:1 talks about a woman who plucks down her house. A woman who plucks down her house with her hands. You know, every wise woman, it says, buildeth her house. It's just such an amazing ministry for a woman to raise her children. Just such an amazing ministry. And it's called foolishness in the world for a woman to just be a housewife. And it's the highest calling in the world, in the history of mankind. It's the highest calling. And yet, the masses, as soon as they have a child, after, they're all different, but so many, the babysitters raise their children every day and every day and every day. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. It's not just a small thing for a woman to not have a vision for her house. It's not a small thing. So we see the word fool is reserved in the scriptures for those that are lost, for those that are vile. We know that the story of Nabal in the Bible. His word means fool, you know, and his end was not well. His end wasn't well. And God knows that we need wisdom. And he tells us in James that if any of you lack wisdom, that you should ask. Ask. I'll give you wisdom. Jesus said that if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven, if a son, okay, Luke chapter 11, verse 10, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him for a fish? Will he give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him? God wants us to ask him. We need to beg and to plead for wisdom. Because, as we heard this morning, everything else will result in either hypocrisy or death. Just, we are incapable of facing this life, facing the enemy and the flood of unrighteousness in this world on our own. We are incapable. And we will fall, lest we plead to the Lord for wisdom. Lest we plead to him. And we set aside the things that are foolish. Now you might say, well, I try to, and I still end up being foolish. Just can't help myself. And well, there's hope. There's hope. God is he's a patient God, and he is knocking on the door of our hearts today. That our conversation be sober. That our relationships be sober relationships. Reverential and loving. Fools can become wise by heeding wise counsel and applying it. Proverbs 8, verse 5 says that, oh, ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth. The mouth, every word of God. That's what we need to live by, the word of God. We need the word of God to live by. There's warnings in the Bible associating with foolish people. Associating with foolish people. Proverbs 14, verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Withdraw from the person that you perceive to be foolish. Withdraw from that person. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walketh with the wise men shall be wise. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. And it's a lot more... It takes a lot more time to become wise by walking with wise men than it does to become foolish by walking with foolish men. You know, we all know that disease spreads faster than health. You can catch a cold from somebody immediately, but you don't catch health from him that soon, that quickly. Walk with the wise and you'll become wise. Walk with a fool and you'll become a fool. And the Bible says, don't be deceived. Don't think that you can. That's what we all think. That's what the tendency of man is to, well, I can handle a little this or a little that, you know. But the Bible says, don't be deceived. Wisdom is not just knowing information. A wise man isn't necessarily the smartest guy that you know. The smartest person you know isn't necessarily the wisest person, because there's many of knowing fools in the world. Many. Many fools that know a lot of things. The doorstep of the palace of wisdom is a humble sense of need. Charles Spurgeon writes, the doorstep of the palace of wisdom is a sense of my own ignorance, a sense of my own need. That's the doorstep of the palace of wisdom. Paul's desire to the Ephesians, in Ephesians 1, verse 17, his heart for the church there, and God's heart, the leading of the Holy Spirit, is fervent today, is fervent, fervently seeking and desiring to lead us and to impart to us wisdom. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of the over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And to become wise, we need to become a fool in this world. The Bible says, the Bible tells us that we need to become fools for Christ's sake. And that was Paul's testimony. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 10, he says, we are fools for Christ's sake. Does that mean he's a fool that we've been talking about? That's not what that means. That means the world calls him a fool. That means the world perceives him as a fool. And the Bible says that God has chosen the foolish things, not the foolish things we've been talking about, but the foolish things the world calls foolish. The things that the Bible calls wisdom, the world calls foolish today. And Jesus Christ came, and he was made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is made unto us wisdom. He is our wisdom. He is my wisdom today. Does that mean that he's my wisdom so I can just act however I want? No, that means that his wisdom is imparted to me. And though he's teaching me, the divine influence of the Spirit of Jesus is upon my heart today. And I'm learning wisdom. I'm becoming wiser than I was yesterday. You know, to say that I'm sorry, and that I was wrong, really doesn't need to be followed up with anything else. It simply means that I'm wiser today than I was yesterday, and I was wrong. That means I'm wiser. And it's foolishness in the eyes of the world. When the world says sorry, they have a whole long list of things, why I did it, why it happened, why this, why I'm so surprised in myself. I that's just not me. And that really means that I really believe I'm very wise, and I don't know how this thing happened, but a simple, I was wrong, is foolishness in the eyes of the world. That's worldly to say that I was wrong, but so-and-so made me be wrong, or shift the blame. It's godly to say, I'm sorry I was wrong. So God wants us to become wise, wiser and wiser and wiser as we learn. The path to wisdom is obedience to Jesus Christ. Obedience to his commandments, and not just his written commandment, but as we pray and seek the Lord and we know what God wants me to do, I know what he wants me to do, And I just don't do it. I just don't do it. And I just won't do it. If I'm obedient to the voice of the Lord, I will grow in wisdom. Wisdom is, the Bible says its price is far above rubies or silver or something, I forget. It should be sought after more than anything in our lives. Wisdom. You think of the time spent, wasted in this world every day. The time spent that is just wasted, not seeking wisdom, but just exercising foolishness. Exercising foolishness. Foolish passions and foolish words and foolish actions. And if we lack wisdom, God says, ask. If any man lack wisdom, ask, and I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. How bad do you want it? Lord, teach us to number our days so that we can want it. Teach us to know that we're not promised tomorrow. Teach us that that would be written on our hearts today. There is consequences to rejecting wisdom. Let's read a few verses in Proverbs 1, verse 20. Proverbs 1, verse 20. There's consequences to rejecting wisdom. Proverbs 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? How long will you love to be simple? That's God's cry to the heart of man. That's why when you talk to many people, they kind of hang their head. I know. They already know. Because God, wisdom is crying out to them. How long are you going to stay simple? How long are you going to be a simple fool? How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. This is wisdom talking. Turn at my reproof. Reproof means when God, reproves us. How many times have you heard someone say that I got a second chance in life? I almost died and I got a second chance, and they're more sober and wiser and more thoughtful today than they were. How many times have you heard someone say that? That's God's reproof maybe on mankind. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. You know, God will not always strive with man. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own desires. For the turning away of the simple, that means backsliding. The backsliding of the simple shall slay them. The backsliding of the simple, the backsliding of a person who wants to be wise but he isn't exercising wisdom will be caught in the snare of the devil. And it'll slay him, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. That's the reward of rejecting wisdom. That's the result of rejecting wisdom. You will be desolate. You will be desolate if you reject wisdom. the reward of wisdom is found in Proverbs chapter 2, right? The next verse, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, seek for her like it was silver. Look at the greed of man out there seeking gold. Look at the things people go through to find gold. Seek wisdom in that way. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk ungodly. That walk uprightly. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. And you can, we don't have time to read the rest of that. But there's a blessing of wisdom in the next chapter. And my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, for the Lord. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And it goes on to say that your sleep will be sweet if you seek wisdom. It goes on to say that the wise shall inherit glory. There's many promises in there to the blessings that wisdom bring. And again, we've all acted foolishly. We've all acted foolishly. We've all spoken foolishly. But there is a path. There is a way, for a place for us to walk where we can learn and gain wisdom for God. You know, God is interested more in the direction we're traveling than in where we're at today. He's interested more in the direction that I am traveling than where you're at. Now, that means to me that doesn't mean he's satisfied with where you're at. He's not satisfied with a person who is not walking in wisdom, with a foolish person, but he's interested in the direction that you're traveling. And God has given the church. God is, you know, that's why today, you know, in the spirit of the law, the law says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery. And if you do, you're dead. You need to be stoned." But Jesus came along and said, "If you look on a woman, you've committed and lust, you've committed adultery." God says, "Don't kill someone." Jesus said, "If you hate your brother, you're a murderer." So God's interested today in, you know, lust and hatred and bitterness are the paths. It leads to murder and adultery. It leads to murder and adultery. And a person whose heart is always bent toward lust, toward greed, toward hatred and bitterness, he eventually becomes, in God's eyes, maybe he's never murdered anyone, but he's a murderer. And there's a verse in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 2, I'll just read it here quick, that a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. The fool is always going this direction, but the wise person is always wanting to go this direction, though he stumbles. God's interested in the direction that we're traveling today. And And if we're bent on foolishness, you know, if we're bent on foolishness, we will become a fool. And if we have no intention of turning from our foolishness, then God counts us a fool already. Just briefly yet. Proverbs 3, verse 11 says, "My son." And Proverbs 3 speaks a lot there about wisdom. Speaks a lot there about being wise. But in there, the verses are inserted that says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. But happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that gaineth understanding." If we seek after wisdom today, there is going to be a scourging. There's going to be a purging in our lives. I assure you today, if you seek after wisdom, God will, the foolishness of our lives, the foolish lusts and the sensual lusts of our lives need to be, God knows how to purge those out of our lives. And there's a purging that takes place. But if we will just yield to the gentle hand of God, God is like a gentle surgeon who goes in and removes infection from a wound. He knows how to do it. God knows how to do it. And there will be loss. There will be times of feeling alone. There will be times of discouragement. But wisdom is the greatest thing that we could ever go after. And Jesus Christ is that wisdom. Jesus is the highest goal. The greatest thing that we could ever do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to receive him into my heart. And ask him to reveal to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'd like to read a few words there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks there about a man that's building a house. And yes, we could read about the wise man that built his house on a rock. We don't have time to read that. And the foolish man that built his house on the sand. We could read about the foolish virgins who didn't have their lamps filled with oil and ended up being too late to the wedding feast. But this talks about a man that's building a house. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'd like for you to turn to it and read with me. These are some verses that just spoke to my heart. Beginning verse 8, it says, "Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Cutting in on verse 8 there. And then verse 9, 1 Corinthians 3 says, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building." It says that you're God's husbandry. You know what a husbandry is? That's a, you know, we've all heard about the husbandman. The husbandman that tends to the vineyard. And a husbandry is his vineyard. So you are like, you're like God's garden, okay? You're God's garden. And he's sowing seeds. In your tender young years, he sows seeds. And these seeds, he waters these seeds and they grow. And every now and then he has to come in and weed this garden. You are God's garden. You're God's husbandry. You are God's building. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon." Be careful Be careful how you build on this foundation. Be careful, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, and I was recently thinking about when the Jews were taken into captivity, and they were 70 years, they were in captivity. Israel was just, the light had gone out. And it's a beautiful picture there of the fall of man. And then they came back. Nehemiah came back. Nehemiah and Ezra came back and rebuilt the temple. And it says when they laid the foundation of that second temple, it says the men sat around and they wept because they saw this temple wasn't going to be as glorious as the first. And I don't know if I understand that correctly exactly, but Jesus is a perfect foundation to build on. This building isn't imperfect like Adam was. We're not perfect like Adam was before he fell. And we can weep over our sins. Blessed are they that mourn. We can weep over those things, but yet God dwelt in that temple that they built. And other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we need to build on that as imperfectly as it looks, maybe as imperfectly as it is today for me today. I am God's building. Don't forget that. If you are born again and profess Christ as your Savior, you are His building, and He cares about His building. And He goes on to say, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. I believe these are our works. And I don't know, I've heard this explained many different ways, and I suppose there's many explanations. But how many times have we built something we thought was good, that we thought this is good, and it got burned up? It just got burned up. And it says that in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That fire of God today will try every man's work, both today and on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, I believe there's a fire coming, and in a flash, all pride will be consumed. All foolish works of men and the fools themselves, the great and the small, the haters and the hypocrites, all the fashions of this world, all the fashion runways and all the fashion boutiques, they're going to be annihilated and consumed in a blinding flash. All the greed for money and more, for more, more, where never is enough. It's going to be consumed. People's children are going to be separated eternally from them. There's going to be loss. There's a day coming when all the... Where do you think a sports complex with 100,000 screaming men and women in it? What do you think happens to that under the blazing fire of God? I don't think it'll stand. All the allurements of it, of immorality, all the pornography and the rebellion and the entertainment, God is going to purge from this earth in a blinding flash. That's coming. That's coming. But God wants to purge these things from our lives today. And I believe this fire He's talking about here is both present and future. If we will allow the fire of God to consume that which is dross in my life, to shine through and to break through the layers of pride and self, and allow Him, because there's a day coming when that's going to happen anyway. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. He shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Many of us have suffered loss because we one day thought we were right and figured out later we were wrong. And the path to wisdom is to say, I was wrong. Sometimes it costs. There's loss. But there's nothing so precious as walking in the will of God. Nothing so precious as that. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, by the skin of his teeth. I want to close here. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Could we all read that together? This is after verse 11, or chapter 11. This is after a listing of the men who walked by faith and overcame by faith in the risen Lord, who suffered loss. They were chased about in sheepskins and goatskins, and they were pilgrims and strangers in the world, and they were looking for a city that has foundations, and they were sawn asunder, and they were called foolish by this world. After we read all that, chapter 12 begins with, read with me, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Lay aside the weights of life today. Lay aside the weights of life and embrace wisdom. Seek wisdom. Desire for wisdom. Ask for wisdom. Beg for it. Plead for it. Because no man can run a race with a weight. If you, in a race, a man with no weight, to win, he is taxed. It is all he can do. It is all he can do to work, to run without a race or to run without a weight. And when we have weights that slow us down, when we have weights that we're unwilling to let down, to lay aside, and the sin that so easily besets us, if we're unwilling to confess them, if we're unwilling to acknowledge and to mourn over our sins, we won't make it. You will never be saved against your will today. The wisest thing you can do today is to choose Jesus Christ, is to be saved, to be born again, delivered from the power of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. The wisest thing you can do today is to be saved, but God will not force you. God will never force anyone. God is a He'll never drag anyone to heaven by their ears. Never has he done that. And in all of our, through the will of man, though it stands against God, and even though God has the power to change my will and your will, he has the power to change it, he won't. He will, he does when he wants to. But for the most part, he wants us to choose. And he wants us to choose wisdom. He wants us to lay aside the foolishness of this world. He has the power to change your will. But he won't. And you will remain unsaved. You will remain undelivered. You will remain foolish. May the Lord help us today that we would learn the brevity of life. Lord, teach us to number our days that we might gain wisdom, the wisdom of the Lord, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. That's all I have. God bless you.